Blog Talk Radio.
I'm gon' do this even after death. I'm gon' do this even after death. You can't match my death. I'm gon' do this even after death. I'm gon' do this even after death. You can't match my death. All you haters get up out my way, cause I'm about to wake. All you haters up, hop on it, let's just ride the wave. You should really listen to this song, cause it's about you slaves. If you want your freedom, stop acting naive. Man, I'm talking naive, hate it like a dry heat. Cause everything you need is hell right in. Man, I'm never right thing when I hit this machine. Swear I got it from my dad, how I got the gift of gab. Articulate, matriculate through 50 states. I'm just here to twist your fate, set it straight. I'm so great, gotta set a date, call me meditate. I'm so metaphysical, I'm the god, call me metafate. They told me not to do it, so I had to do it. I'm tired of all these people trying to be so fancy. You say a lot of stuff, but you don't mean nothing. So tell me how the hell you supposed to make advances. Advances, make advances, make advances. Advances, make advances, make advances. Advances, make advances, make advances. Advances, till a brother got it. They don't say nothing till a brother got it. I'ma pull up with the Corvette, cause I'm so fat. Yeah, you know I gotta give my check. Yeah, I'm so chest with it popped out like, that's me. All day, can't you see? That's me. All day, Super Saiyan like I'm Goku when I'm flying through the atmosphere. I'm about to clear everybody out of here, can't you see? I'm just killing all these rats with these raps clear. Can't you see? Can't you see how I'm right here? Told me not to do it, so I had to do it. I'm tired of all these people trying to be so fancy. You say a lot of stuff, but you don't mean nothing. So tell me how the hell you supposed to make advances. Make advances, make advances, make advances. Make advances, make advances, make advances. Make advances, make advances, make advances. Make advances. They told me not to do it, so I had to do it. Tired of all these people trying to be so fancy. You say a lot of stuff, but you don't mean nothing. So tell me how the hell you supposed to make advances. Make advances, make advances, make advances. Make advances, make advances, make advances. Make advances, make advances, make advances. Make advances. Yeah.
All right. Welcome. What's going on, everybody? This is your boy, Dr. Will Rogers, a.k.a. Master Teacher 33. And today is Friday, January the 4th of 2019. And the time is 12 noon Central Time. As always, we have another outstanding show scheduled for you today. And as you know, I like to get right into the meat of the message. I know your time is valuable. I respect you. I respect your time. So I do not want to waste your time. I want to spend as much time revealing, explaining, illuminating, and simplifying the word of God, the word of Yahuwah and his son, Yahushua. So today, my brothers, today, my sisters, we're going to continue with part two of what we started yesterday, talking about transcending reality and piercing the veil. Specifically, as we talked about yesterday, it's extremely important for us to understand that we live in a reality that prohibits or limits us to connect with God's mentality. And so it's important for us to transcend this reality. It's important for us to be able to understand how to pierce the veil, for us to over and understand what's important in life. What's the difference between, you know, this reality and God's reality or God's mentality? So we are all separated by this thing that we call reality or that we call emotions. So today we want to talk about how to develop consciousness, not emotions. Now, this is part two of part one. So we talked about part one yesterday, And it's going to sound like, on the surface, that some of the things that I said yesterday, I'm counteracting or contradicting today. But truth is like an onion. There's different levels of truth, but it's all the same. We have to peel back the different layers of truth. Now, it's extremely important to understand that statement. Because if you don't understand that statement, then what I'm about to say right now is going to seem difficult. It's going to seem like I was contradicting some of the statements that I made in part one. But remember, we have to go on past. You know, the Bible talks about it, and it gives us some very important keys that I talk about all the time, because these are the keys to the kingdom. Specifically, in Hebrews chapter 6, it starts off with these keys, Hebrews 6:1, which is the foundation of pretty much everything that I do. Now, without understanding Hebrews 6:1, you cannot transcend this current reality, because the reality that we live in is a reality, but it is not the reality. This reality is only 1% of the other 99 realities, if you want to use that way of looking at it, from an electromagnetic spectrum level, meaning our flesh connects us, our flesh keeps us, our flesh traps us, our flesh inboxes us, our flesh is limiting us. It prohibits us from having substance. Instead, we have experiences. Now, our experiences are important because they contain substance. But there is nothing new to discover, as we will find out, and there should be no emotional response to the stimulation or the stimuli, because emotional response is what is limiting us. The emotional responses, they don't empower us. Meaning, if you are a woman and if you're in a relationship with a man and a man does or says something that causes you to become very emotional, that emotional response limits you. It produces tunnel vision. It releases cortisol and adrenaline in the body, and it causes you to not be able to make sound decisions based upon reason and logic and love and compassion, because the reptile or the reptilian brain is activated and the neocortex and the paleocortex is disengaged. Therefore, your scope, your scale, your ability to see is limited. Now, you have crystal clear focus on survival. However, you are surviving and you're not thriving, so you're making decisions that are based upon survival. Men and women. I use the example of women, but it applies both ways. So we got to pierce the veil. We got to go past emotional responses. Now, that's difficult, because when I tell people that, people always immediately respond, well, brother, well, what do you mean? How can I not have an emotional response to something that's emotional? I'm not telling you not to have an emotional response. What I'm saying is what the Bible says when it says, be angry, but sin not. So be angry, have an emotional response. There's nothing wrong with having an emotional response, but you cannot develop your consciousness based upon the emotional response. What most of us do is our conscious reality is based upon our emotional response. So in order to pierce the veil, to get past the veil, now what is the veil? What is the veil? Well, the veil is humanity. Your humanity stops or limits your spirituality. And we talked about that yesterday. So when we talked about what I mentioned yesterday when I was talking about my book, I Am Too Human, where I broke down in part one, your humanity limits your spirituality. Now, that's extremely important, because as we read yesterday, in me, that is in my flesh, there is no good thing. My flesh wars against my spirit. So I'm talking about the reality of the flesh. That's what we're trying to get past. But your flesh, like mine, is so powerful. Your flesh is so powerful that it limits your scope. It limits your ability. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwells no good thing. For the will is present with me. My mind is sharp. My mind wants to do spiritual thing. But how to perform the thought in my brain, I cannot find it. That's what it says when we read yesterday. And so now we want to continue to pierce the veil by, number one, develop consciousness, not emotions. Now, again, everything starts or is empowered by emotion, but it doesn't start with emotion. Emotion is second base. So what's first base? Consciousness. What's consciousness? Thoughts. What's thoughts? It is a quantum global collective consciousness. Let me say that again. Your thoughts, because remember the law, the flesh, the self kills. That's what the scripture tells us, and it told us in Romans 7:15 that we talked about quite a bit yesterday. For I know I do not allow myself to do what is good. Instead, I do what I hate. And we broke that down. I want to do what's right, but something, the members, there's something in my body that wars against my spirit. The veil is the flesh. The veil is the reality of this flesh that we live in. Now, our flesh is awesome, but it's not glorified. It has not been redeemed, if you want to use that. Now, I know there's a lot of people who have problems with my biblical terminology. I understand. However, I can only come from the perspective and from the point of the second point that I need to make today is make sure your doctrine is based upon your experience. If I was a Muslim, I would be using the Quran, and my doctrine would be based upon my experience. But I'm not a Muslim. I'm not Greek. I'm not Hebrew. I'm not Aramaic. I'm a black man from Forest Hills, Texas. Therefore, my vernacular, I'm staying in my lane. Now, my lane is different from your lane. There's certain things about my lane that's going to bother you. That's okay. I have to make it okay for you to be okay if you please allow me to be okay. I don't want you to be a version of me. I want you to be you. I want you to do you, and I'm going to do me. But don't criticize me for being and doing me. I'm not going to criticize you for being and doing you. That's the problem within the African-American community. I see all these black conscious debaters, and every other word out their mouth is MF this and mother this, and they dog and they denigrate and they attack other conscious black people. Now, we serve or we are of the kingdom, right? But yet, every time I watch a debate between these black conscious leaders, you know, you can just name anyone, whether it's Sarnetta, whether it's Brother Polite, whether it's any of these, you know, brothers that's supposed to be conscious. Why is there such a verbal diatribe between two intellectual conscious individuals? If they are conscious and if you are conscious, because remember, number one, develop conscious, not emotions. Number two, make sure your doctrine is based upon your experiences. Number three, make sure that you are creating. That's it. Don't do nothing. Every day you wake up, you better create something, because the God consciousness is creation. If you're not creating, you're not conscious. I can always tell a dead man or a dead woman because they've never created anything in their life. They always work for other people who create shitness. You should create your own stuff. If you're not, you're not conscious. Consciousness, proof of consciousness is you got freaking results in your life. And number four, there's nothing new under the sun. That's what it says in the book of Ecclesiastes. So if somebody comes to you and says that I got a new good, see, this is how destination addiction is established, because you read something that is new. It's amazing to me. I don't care. How is it that every year there's a new, let's say, exercise machine? Because January, New Year resolution, everybody want to get in shape. The gym is packed. February, by the time Valentine's Day rolled around, it's just the faithful few. Because there's always a new diet. There's always a new protein shake. There's always a new. Ain't nothing new. So you can stop chasing the white, brown, green, or blue rabbit. There is nothing new under the sun. Everything is just regurgitated knowledge. So somebody come up to me and they tell me, well, hey, Brother Will, you know, because remember, I've been coining words and making up phrases that I thought was original. And then I do some research and I find out, well, wow, you know, 5,000 years ago, that everything that I'm saying is in a book called the Emerald Tablets. How in the world? I wasn't around 5,000 years ago, or was I? Everything I'm talking about, everything that's in all of my books, I'm telling you, man, this is crazy. Sometimes it gets really weird in my brain. I'm talking, it gets really weird because I come up with stuff like the term cleronomics. I'm like, hey, nobody came up with that. I'm original. I got something new. And then I had to research, and some cave, you know, in Timbuktu or in the underground in the Pacific Ocean somewhere, they dig up some ancient artifacts. When I did the research on Christos, and Christos, and I found out all of this ancient stuff that, oh, wow, nobody's talking about. Come to find out, man, they was talking about what I'm talking about 5,000 years ago. There's nothing new under the sun. So we have to transcend reality with our mentality that's based upon our spirit and not in our flesh. Because, see, the law is good. The trouble is not with the law, but the trouble is with me because I am sold. Slavery, sold. We all have been sold into slavery. So now someone came, thankfully, and they brought you out of slavery. They purchased you. Now, that's what we call religious dogma. Now, a lot of people have a problem with religious dogma. I understand. But if I was Arab, if I was Muslim, if I was Greek, if I was, you know, Latin, then I would be coming at you with the same exact story, just different characters. They'd have different names. They would be either Buddha, it would be Muhammad, but it's the freaking same story. Oh, cultures. If you're a Native American, we'd be talking about Quetzalcoatl down in freaking Central America. But it's the same. The feathered serpent is the same story. If you go over to Egypt and we'd be talking about, Ra and all of the Egyptian, you know, deities. Guess what? Same story. So don't get caught up in the diatribe where you're attacking your brother and your sister because they got the same character, but the character has a different name. See, the Bible says, I don't understand myself at all, for I really want to do what is right, but I don't do it. Instead, I do the very thing I hate. Why is that? Why is it? If you know, I know. I know. Do you know? I know what to do was right. I know what I should be doing. Every day I wake up, I know exactly what I should be doing, but I don't do it every day. Every day you know what you should be doing. Every day I know I got enough Dear Kinnear reports to be processing. I got one-on-ones to do. I got freaking shows. I know what to do, but some days I'm not feeling it. But it's not that I don't know. So I have to do something. My emotions are stopping me from being conscious. So is yours. We all are emotional people. Now, remember yesterday I talked about a lot of what I call, you know, I'm going to use the word basic Christianity, even though there's no such thing as basic. And there's no such thing as Christianity. These are all divisions. These are all denominations that separate us. And I remember doing that show yesterday, and my brother called me, and I had a good talk with my brother, who I hadn't talked to in a long time. And he said, bro, that was a good message, man, because it was Jesus Christ and him crucified. So he could resonate with that message. But if my brother's listening to today's message, it's going to be a little tough. Why? It's second base. Why is it that we're okay with first base, but we have problems with second base? I don't understand. Can somebody help me out? Now, I could preach Jesus Christ and him crucified. Negroes get happy. Now, nothing wrong with that. But I cannot pay my bills with emotionalism. Now, trust me, man. Please hear my heart. I was raised in the church. My whole family's in the church. Everybody I know goes to church. We love shouting. I love shouting. I love turning over chairs. I love music. I love to hear the preachers start preaching and then they break it down and then they keep going and then they start dropping knowledge I like all that stuff too. However, I can't pay my bills with none of that. I already tried. So I don't know about you, man. I'm trying not to disrespect nobody. I hope and pray, and I know I get emails and texts even my family, man. I love my family. I love my family. I love my family. I love my family, but, man, it's hard, man. Y'all don't understand. It's really hard because at some point in time, you have to grow. I mean, we can postpone it. We could, preach sermons all day. We could talk about Jesus Christ and him crucified. We can, hang on, brother, your blessing coming. Come back next Sunday. We can sell chicken dinners. We can do yard sales. We can pass our clothes. We can go feed the homeless. We can slap oil on people's heads. We can pray for folks. But at some point in time, there has to be an awakening. I don't know, man. I'm struggling because I don't understand how you could experience the God that I experience and yet not enjoy the fruits and the benefits of being in his presence and being his son and being his daughter. I don't understand. I'm struggling with why. Now, it took me 50 years, so I kind of get it. So I'm not talking about you youngsters that's listening to me today. If you're under 40, this message is really not my disdain. This message is really not for you. If you're under 40, you know, you're still gathering experiences. So, you're still learning. So I'm not talking. If you're under 40, you get a pass today. But if you're over 40, male or female, if you're over 40 years old and you still are emotional, if I can do something to get you pissed off, if you still having this love and hip hop stuff going on in your life, if you still are in the same situation that you've been in the last freaking 15, 20 years, still in Groundhog's Day, and you over 40, this message is for you. Your flesh is out of control. You need to transcend reality. You need to pierce the veil. You need to stop playing church. You got to stop being emotional and develop consciousness. That's God. You got to get into God. You got to distance yourself from the distractions, and you got to connect with God. You got to become one with God, and I'm not talking about the one that's in most churches. I'm talking about the God that is a freaking creator that solves freaking problems, that God. Now, that God doesn't exist for most people. Most people get a problem, and they accept the problem. They just say, oh, okay, the doctor said I got cancer. Okay, doc, what medication you got, Holmes? So you mean to tell me you're just going to live the rest of your life with cancer? Well, yeah, Brother Will, there's no cure. What? Like what? Are we reading different Bibles? Let's say you don't even got a Bible. Let's say you got the Quran. Maybe you got the Bhagavad. I don't care what you got. Disease is not a part of no religion or no spiritual teachings on the globe. You can go to Native Americans. Even in their teachings, the Great Spirit, he ain't sick. I mean, I don't. There has to come a place where we get to a place where poverty, sickness, and conscious Negroes calling each other out their names and wanting to meet in the street and fight, like do this old barbaric stuff that I did in my 20s. Why are we still doing that? And we 50, Negroes 40, 50 years old, and you still talking about, you know, yeah, man, let's be out in the parking lot. Now I'm talking about myself too. Why is that even an option? Why can't we sit down and agree to disagree? How come we can't do that? How come I can't respect you as another man? And how come you can't respect me? How come there can't be mutual respect if we serve the same God? Because there's only one. See, sin. Brothers and sisters, the scripture says, I can't help myself because it is sin inside me that makes me do evil things. That's what the New Living Translation of Romans 7:15 says. Now, let me make sure you understand what that means. Excuse me. There are rules and regulations. There are signs and symbols. There are words and letters. There's colors, there's math, there's music, there's language. These are all expressions of the divinity or the big G. We are violating some or one of those expressions or one of those symbols, one of those signs, one of those letters. We are violating something. That's the only reason separation exists. So separation from God or separation from truth is the cause of every problem on earth. Separation. So at the root, at the cause, when I'm talking to somebody, I'm just waiting if I ask you why you're in the situation that you're in, you can say, well, Brother Will, I lost my job, man, and I didn't have the ability to pay my bills. Okay, why did you lose your job? If I ask the question why seven times, I'm going to get down to the cause. You know what the cause is? Every problem on earth has a spiritual cause. I've not heard one person tell me a problem that they have that doesn't have a vibrational cause. It is a lack of understanding the frequency of wave, what I call consciousness. See, we understand the emotion. So cancer creates an emotion. It doesn't create consciousness. Cancer doesn't create, poverty doesn't make me close to God. Poverty separates for me from God, because poverty, if I have more bills than money, I have anxiety, because I know if I don't figure out a way to pay that light bill, they're going to turn off my lights. I know that I got a nice car in my driveway, but every 30 days, the bank doesn't care if I'm sick. They don't care if I lost my job. They don't care how many deal canary reports I've sold. They don't care if I got any new clients. They don't care if people are enrolled in the series that I'm doing, you know, tonight at 7, dealing with how to legally. They don't care. The bank doesn't care. The bank, now I found this out, and it's crazy, but most people that's in position of collecting money are Caucasians. Now, I just thought it was just, when I was a kid growing up, I just thought white people just like money. But I realized it's not just white people. It's just people that's in authority, because they could be a black person. If your landlord is black and you don't pay your rent, he's going to have a problem with you. So it's not about race. It's about principles, meaning I give you something in exchange. You're supposed to give me something. If you violate that agreement that we have, then I have a problem. So long as there is no violation of agreements, regardless of race, race is not an issue. Race only become an issue when you violate purpose, principles, keys. When you violate these keys. And so we got to be talking about the keys, not race. But people are talking about race. Race is a non-issue when keys are not violated. It's when keys are violated. And there's a race of people, black, that violate more keys, according to another race of people, white. And so therefore, based upon the fact that there's a group of people that violate more of biblical keys or spiritual keys. And what's interesting, that group of people, black, we got more religion than the people that don't violate the keys, white. Now, again, that's just a blanket statement. I know that's not true across the board. The point that I'm trying to make is black man, black woman, specifically because I'm black, we got to get out of emotionalism in church and inside of our brains and inside of our lives. There should be no emotional response. I should not be able to trigger you, at least not easily. It should take me some effort. So if I ride by you and you're walking down, you're jogging down the street, and I say, hey, coon, go back to Africa, and you pick up a rock and chunk it at my car, that shouldn't happen, especially if you're over 50. But I know Negroes that would do that. Why? Emotionalism. Now, I like emotions, but emotions come from something called thought. Now, the thought, that's what we got to talk about. Because right now, the way that we're thinking is flawed. Because the Bible says in Romans 7 that there is another law at work within me that is at war with my mind. So there's a law, there is another law. Okay, that other law, that's the issue. So it's not you. So stop beating yourself up. Stop feeling sorry for yourself. When the Reverend Dr. Bishop says you're a low-down, worthy, dirty dog sinner, you can just internally, you don't talk to the Reverend Dr. Bishop. You just know the Reverend, you respect the Reverend Dr. Bishop. You realize that he's unlearned, and you realize that, okay, maybe a little time, he'll come into the knowledge of the, and not a version. He'll be coming to the knowledge of the truth. But if he doesn't, is it your problem? Is it your job to educate the Reverend Dr. Bishops? No, it's not. It's not your job, and it's not my job. So let me make sure we understand. There is another law. So that means there's another lawyer. There's another entity. There's another organization. Because remember, laws are made by lawyers, right? Laws are made by people in position that are able to establish orders. So that means that there's another G. I call it Lucien Far, Luminescence One, Lucifer. Lucien Far made some other laws. And he put those laws into place. So there is biblical laws, kingdom laws, universal laws, and then there is another law at work. So we could talk about these other laws at work, but we should be talking about the laws that work, not the other law. Why? We bring about what we think about, what we talk about, what we examine. So I'm not interested in the other law. I just need, number one, awareness. That's called consciousness. If you develop awareness of the other law, you know it's there, take your emotion out of it. Because remember, whatever you resist persists. So if I resist, it's going to persist. Now, the definition of resist, we might want to define. Because resistance, the Bible talks about if you resist the devil, quote unquote, the other law, it will do something. So there's two words that we have to define. First of all, let's define or let's break down how you should be oscillating or vibrating so that way you can transcend or get out of Groundhog Day. You can pierce the veil of flesh. So the way that you pierce the veil is through resistance. And then the way that you don't pierce the veil is through resistance. See, the enemy is smart at doing what they call double speak. That's why if you listen to part one and you listen to part two, it's going to sound like double speak. That's what the enemy does. The enemy uses the same words with definitions. The enemy uses the same God and different titles. So we got to look at the titles because we've got different titles. And if we don't understand the different titles, then we're not going to be able to resist the devil. Now, brothers and sisters, this is extremely important because when we're talking about resisting, when we're talking about consciousness, when we talk about awareness, any effort, good or bad, magnifies wherever the effort is at. Let me say that again, any effort. So in James chapter 4, verse 7, it tells us something that's extremely important. Let's start with verse 6. James 4, 6 says, but use us for grace. This is why it says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Verse 7, James chapter 4, verse 7. Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. In the King James, that word comes from the Strong Concordance G430436, which is a word antistee. It's almost like amnesty. It's spelled A-N-T-I-S-T-E-T-E. There's no A, E. That word resist means to withstand. It means antihistamine or histamine, H-I-S-T-E-M-I. It means to stand against. Almost like the word oppose. So we need to oppose, like stand against. So what that means when we look at it in the Greek or in the original text, when it comes to the law that's inside of the body that is waging war against the law that's inside of the mind. Now, that verse in Romans 7:15, it says that this law wins the fight and makes me a slave to the sin that is still in me. Oh, what a miserable person that I am. Who will free me from this life that is dominated by sin? So we have a life that is dominated by sin because we need to reframe or we need to oppose or we need to refuse to accept. So the word resist means basically you got to refuse to accept. It means that you got to stand against. Now, resistance, meaning that you need to stand where you are. It means to make a stand where you are. The word resistance is a dangerous word because it's also the word assistance. So resistance comes from the word assistance. So that's why when you resist something, you actually assist something. How? Energy. Why? It takes energy to reframe from something. And so as we continue in James chapter 4, now when we look at this book, and let me pull it up in the other definition right quick. In James chapter 4, verse 7. Now, this is extremely important. This is what I talk about. This is what they call the etheric force. It's if you are for something, you empower it. If you are against something, you empower it. So what happens when you are neutral, and what does that mean? Because to me, when I say neutral, that simply means disengaged. So we got to go a little deeper. Because if you're disengaged, that's like being lukewarm. The Bible says it's better to be hot or cold. If you're lukewarm, God will spit you out of his mouth. So when we look at James chapter 4, and we break this down, now remember, every English word has four, sometimes seven Greek words that make up the one English word. So this word in the Greek, let me pull it up, 436, antistomi. So antistomi. So that's the first word in the Greek. And that's where we get this word, you know, to oppose, stand against. Now, once we go down the rabbit trail a little bit deeper, and we got this word anti, that's the next word in the Greek for this word resist. It means, again, opposite. So the word resist really means opposite. So resistance means you should be the opposite of whatever you're resisting. So you're not necessarily resisting it with force. You're resisting it because you are immersed in its opposite position. So when I say resist the devil, I mean you should be whatever. What is the opposite of the devil? If I say antimatter, what is the opposite? So this word really means to be the opposite of whatever position that you're resisting. So you don't resist it with effort. You resist it with immersion. That's called ergon. That's called work. Faith without works is dead. Works. So this word, again, means that you are standing. It means to be or to establish a fixed position. That means to be the solution. So let me make sure you, how do you resist all problems in your life? Be the solution to the problem. What does that mean? That means that you have to have the mental disposition of the solution. You cannot have the mental disposition of the problem. Let me say that again. It's extremely important. This changed my life. You have to maintain the mental disposition of the solution. You cannot resist. You cannot be against, you know, poverty. Why? You're just going to be poor. Why? Because that's energy. See, you cannot have hate. See, this is extremely, how do you transcend the veil of the flesh? What is the opposite of the flesh? The spirit. What does the Bible say about the spirit? The Bible says this. The Bible says, walk in the spirit. And guess what happens? Anybody remember that scripture? Let me pull that one up. So the Bible says you walk in the spirit. Then it says that you cannot. It says that you will not. You won't do something. All you have to do is be the opposite of the thing that you hate. You don't fight hate. You don't fight. You cannot resist. You cannot be against something. If you are, you are that thing that you're against. So resistance means opposite. In the scripture in James 4, it says be the opposite. It says resist the devil, be the opposite of the devil. That means be God. That's what it says. So when it says walk in the spirit, and you cannot or you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh, what does that mean? That simply means that's Galatians 5:16. So it tells us, then I say, walk in the spirit, and ye shall not fulfill. That means bring to fruition the lust. That's the desire. That's the mentality of the flesh. Because remember, the flesh is the self. So remember, the Bible says that there's a law in my flesh. So I don't fight the law of the flesh with the flesh. I fight the law of the flesh, whatever law that's in my flesh that's making me stay trapped in this reality. I don't fight it with the things that the Bible says. Again, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not in the flesh, but they're mighty through God. They're in the spirit. So we got to walk in the spirit. Why do we got to walk in the spirit, Brother Will? Because it's the opposite. That's how we resist. The way that you resist is to walk in the spirit. Now, all of the emphasis should be on walking in the spirit. There should be no emphasis placed upon fighting the flesh. But yet, people tell me what they hate. They tell me what they are against. Now, it's okay to have knowledge of it, and it's okay to mention it, but it's not okay to put energy into it by putting your thoughts on it. I never think about bills. Now, let me say it again. I never think about my bills. When they show up, I pay them. They don't show up, I don't pay them. I never think about bills. I never think about problems. I never think about disease. I never think about ignorance. I never think about negativity. I always, now when the thought comes, I develop consciousness, not emotions. So number one, to pierce the veil, part two, is you have to develop consciousness, not emotions. We have a lot of emotional people inside of Christendom and inside of the conscious community and inside of spirituality, very emotional because they are very adamant about it. Why you are fighting for your cause. Lions, other lions don't fight for other lions from the perspective of to prove that they're a lion. Lions don't have to prove their worth or their metal or their value. You know how the lion proves that they're lions? When they bite you in the... How do they prove that they're a lion? Number two, when you experience the bite or the roar or the presence of the lion, you know it's a lion. You don't need, lions don't have campaign managers. Lions don't, they don't do no advertising. Lions don't travel, you know, they don't have a bunch of people who have to go out before them, a bunch of other lions to kind of amp up, quote unquote, or cheerlead or promote. It's very interesting. Lions don't, they don't need none of that. Why? Because lions create. And what do lions create? They create meals. How do they create the meals? By mauling other animals. So you should do the same thing that a lion do every day. You shouldn't talk about that fact that you're a lion. You should be living a life. Your experiences should establish your lionhoodness. So you should be able to prove to me, based upon the number of animals that you got lined up that you mauled today, that you're a lion. If you keep saying, Brother Will, I'm a lion, brother. I'm a lion, brother. I'm a lion. But you don't have no fruit. You don't have no, you haven't killed no zebras. You haven't killed no wildebeest. You haven't killed no antelopes. You haven't killed anything. You haven't killed nothing. All you're doing is roar, roar, roar. You're just talking about that you're a lion, but you ain't got no experiences that you're a lion. You ain't got no results that prove to me you're a lion. But yet you're telling me you're a lion. That's not reality. That's not piercing the veil. See, God knows what's in your mind to do. Therefore, if you make a mistake, this whole thing that is being taught today about morality is a mistake. Now, what do I mean? So if God knows what's in your heart, that's what the Bible says. God knows, because God says, I can see that there is a law that is working in your members. The God also see that there is another law that he placed in your mind. That is the law to do good. But there's another law that is evil, and evil is present with you every time you do good. God says that in your heart, take pleasure in the law of God. Because there's another law in your body that is working against the law that's in your heart or in your mind. And it's trying to make you a servant of the law of sin, which is in the flesh. That's what I call bipolar. So when I was diagnosed with bipolar, I was like, yeah, you think? Because all humanity is bipolar. Because the flesh is one pole, the spirit is another pole. So anybody that comes up and tell me that now, so now I know this. I don't need nobody to take no test to verify it. So I know. The clients that I'm talking to, the people that I talk to, the people that I know they bipolar, even though they may not know they bipolar. Because I know what's in their flesh. Because I've seen it with my own eyes and I've lived it with my own life. I got something called real life experience, homie. I don't got book knowledge. I got some, but I got way more experience. So my doctrine is based upon my experience. That's why I'm saying people under 40, this message is probably not for you. You're still gathering experiences to prove your doctrine. Now, I already got enough experiences in my life to prove my doctrine. So I don't care who or what tells me. And I got a lot of well-meaning family members, and I got a lot of friends who tell me, hey, Brother Will, you know, Jesus Christ and Him crucified, brother. That's all you need. Well, 30 plus years, 40, almost 40 years of my life, I tried that. That dog didn't hunt. Not for me. Why? I read Hebrews 6:1. And in Hebrews 6:1, in the New Living Translation, it says, so let us stop going over the basic teachings about Christ again and again and again. Please read Hebrews 6:1. Please. In the New Living Translation. Please. At your convenience. This will pierce the veil. I guarantee you, if you read Hebrews 6:1, it'll set you free from Groundhog's Day. If you read Hebrews 6:1, you'll get out of Groundhog's Day. You'll stop. I guarantee it, because the word of God is alive, it is powerful, it is sharper than any two-edged sword, has the ability to divide spirit, soul, joint, marrow, and is the discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. The word of God cannot return void. Now, let me make sure you understand, because it is the frequency, it is the substance that's behind the word of God that transcends reality, and it pierces the veil of your mentality. It destroys that disposition that is the quantum collective consciousness. It's not your consciousness. It was quantumly, it was digitally, it was D-Wave, that new computer they got, downloaded based upon the collective consciousness of the hive mind. That is Lucifer. Do you know that they got a computer called Lucifer? Did you see the movie Lucy, which is the female version of Lucifer? Did you see the movie Limitless? So Limitless is code for Lucifer. And remember in the movie Limitless, he took a pill, bam, all-knowing, all-power. He had all the attributes of God. Lucy in the movie, she turned into a computer. She was everywhere, another attribute of God. But how did they get there? Remember the definition of the word humanism. Seeking to become like God without divine aid. So in order to transcend the reality, they want you to become the reality. That's why they want you to become a computer. Notice in the movie Lucy, she became a computer. I ain't becoming a computer. God uses computer code, but God ain't computer code. Now, your DNA is in computer code because God realizes He's dealing with a lower entity that uses computer code. So the devil tried to program God out of this reality. He thought he was smarter than God. So he said, I'm going to come up with a code, Dex, and I'm going to make beings that operate on this code. And I am the writer of the code. So I'm a lawyer, and I'm going to create a law. And I'm going to put that law, that code in their body. So therefore, I can control their body. And I'm going to get them to leave out their spirit. So therefore, I can create a realm or a world where God doesn't exist. Because I can program God out of this reality using kind of a computer code. That's why when they're coming up and all of these great scientists are coming to a point, just like me, where they're saying that this world that we live in on basically a basic algorithm. So if you understand the algorithm, you understand. But what they fail to remember is that this world was created by a dumbed down deity, Samael, the blind god, Sam, blind El God, that I write in my book, Cosmogrator, that's inside the ancient text, the Apocryphon of John. And I can prove it biologically and spiritually, because they know that if there's a code, they have to be a code writer. And they think that the code writer is God. But I understand that the code writer, based upon biology, based upon theology, and based upon the esoteric text, is not the supreme deity. It's just a little g. And so now we got to go past the basic teachings of Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Not that they're not good, but we need to do something. What do we need to do? Hebrews 6:1. It says, let us go on instead and become mature in our understanding. Hold up, time out. So if you got Jesus Christ and Him crucified, you don't have maturity. That's not what I said. Please read Hebrews 6:1. Please don't email me. Don't text me. Well, Brother Will, you know, man, that's all. Okay, I understand. But everybody I know that got Jesus Christ and Him crucified, they got a lot of problems. Why? That's where I came from. Where did I come from? Experiences. This is not no shizness I read out of a book. I got a 25, my first marriage, freaking 25 years of hell that was created by a lack of understanding in my little brain because I was 40 and under. So again, my doctrine is based upon God's word, my experience, universal spiritual law, physics, cosmology, and an understanding that there is something called the Ruach and the Pneuma that will lead you and guide you into all truth if you get out of your flesh. But that's a problem. Why? Because the flesh was against the spirit. Right now, when I talk, I like to watch the response of people when they read or when I say what I'm saying today. Why? Flesh. Because how do I know? I know my flesh. Now, it's very difficult for people to not admit error, but to acknowledge reality. Not this one, the real one. Very difficult. See, the Bible says the definition of the word lack is the absence of something needed. The word lack means deficient. The word lack. Now, the Bible tells us in Hosea, my people are destroyed because they lack something. Hosea 4:6, my people are destroyed because lack of knowledge. Knowledge is gnosis. You cannot transcend the reality with Jesus Christ and him crucified. You can't, according to the Bible and according to physics and ancient texts and everything that I've read. Why? You got to have holistic. God is whole. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one. Right now we got pole. We got polarity. We got bipolar. We got flesh. We got spirit. You cannot transcend this reality with duality. You cannot transcend this reality with duality, with a bipolar mental disposition. You cannot. You need a holistic approach. You got to go above. You got to go beyond. You got to go on to perfection. You got to do exactly what it says in the scriptures. It says to go on. But you got to start there. That's why, again, you can't throw the baby out with the bathwater. But babies, they don't stay babies. You start with the milk of the word. But once you get teeth, once you grow up, once you get past 40, you got to eat some freaking meat. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. That word knowledge, again, means consciousness. Well, we got a lot of emotion. Man, we got a lot of emotion. But do we have consciousness? I'll let you answer that. Lack means the absence of something needed. What's needed, Brother Will? Let's go back to Hebrews 6:1. So let us stop going over the basic teachings about Christ again and again. Let us go on instead and become mature in our understanding. Surely, we don't need to start again with the fundamental importance of repenting from evil deeds and placing our faith in God. That's Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1. Guess what it says in verse 2? Hebrews chapter 6, verse 2 in the New Living Translation said, you don't need further instructions. Let me say that again. You don't need further instructions. Let me say that again. You don't. That means you do not. You don't need further instructions. Okay? About what, Brother Will? Okay, Hebrews chapter 6, verse 2. You don't need further instructions about baptisms. You don't need further instructions about the laying on of hands. You don't need further instructions about the resurrections of the dead. You don't need further instructions about eternal judgment or eternal life. Because why? Jesus defeated all of that. He took care of all that for you. You don't need further instructions. You got to get some instructions. Then when you get those instructions, what do you do? Do you keep instructing that over and over and over and over and over and over and over? That's people I know, that's what they do. They just keep instructions, same instructions. Guess what happens when you do the same instructions? You get the same results. Ignorance is a lack or an absence of something needed. Ignorance and sin are always equated with the flesh or the ego. Sin is a willful rejection of something that is needed or required. Sin is living without your lot, without your share, without your destiny. Sin is ignorance of purpose. Sin is a lack of purpose. Sin is a mental disposition that is not aware that they need additional teaching. Hebrews 6:3 says, "And so, God willing, we will move forward to further understanding." Sign me up. I'm your boy. If there's anybody who wants to move forward, notice the direction. Is there anyone who wants to move forward? Is there anybody who wants to move forward? Okay, the way that we move forward, number one, develop consciousness, not emotions. We are too emotional. We're too emotional, myself included. I'm giving the message today because it came to me first. We are too emotional. Okay, Brother Will, what do we got to develop consciousness of? We got to develop consciousness of 1 Timothy 2:5. We got to develop consciousness of one. If you want to pierce the veil. Now, some people, as I'm finding out, they like Groundhog's Day. They like where they're at. They like repeating the same teachings over and over. They like the emotional living. See, some people think being emotional is the same thing as being productional. I've met people, I know people that like that. Some people think that being emotional is the same thing as being functional. And it's not. Emotions don't solve problems. Consciousness does. You can be emotional, but you will never solve a problem with your emotions. You will only solve a problem with consciousness or awareness or your perception, your ability to perceive what? Well, 1 Timothy in the New Living Translation, the NIV, it says, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, that is the man Christ Jesus." For there is one God, one grantor of destinies, one destiny, one being, one supreme frequency, wave of vibration, whatever your term, a definition of God, there's only one. There's not a bunch of them. There's only one. And there is one mediator between God and man, Christ Jesus. So Christ is the represents like what I call the soul. That's Christ. Because God is spirit, the devil is the flesh, Christ is the soul. Because you are a spirit, you have possession of a soul, or the soul have possession of you, and it is manifesting itself in this flesh. So the soul is the mediator between heaven and what we call earth or hell. So to go back and forth, you got to have a soul. The soul is the mind, will, emotion, imagination, intellect. That's the soul. That is represented by Christ. And then we have the Father, and then we have the Son. Oh, we got two poles. But there's one medium, there's one mediator, there's one thing that allows you to transcend one pole to go to the other pole, Christ. That is why Christ is the most heavily debated subject on earth. Because how do you transcend the reality? How do you pierce the veil? How do you get out of the body and get in to the spirit? Christ. Christ is what? The soul. What is the soul? The mind, will, emotion, imagination, and intellect. Represented in the form of what? A position or a title. What is a position or a title? It is, again, as we've broken down with the word Christ, something was loaned to you. It's like God gave you a tool to assist you with returning back to the source, because there's only one source. And so your job is not to be emotional, but to be aware of what? There is a mediator between God and man. There's a mediator between your flesh and your spirit. So that way, your spirit can take power over your flesh by using your soul. Power over your flesh, the devil, by using Christ. That's why Jesus Christ is so heavily debated, because people don't understand the etymology. People do not understand the personification of it, of understanding how it has multiple meanings. Now, I'm not saying the physical attributes and everything that we're taught, because the Bible tells us, that's great. That's the foundation. That's what we talked about in Hebrews 6:1. So once we get that, do we keep repeating that for 30 years? Now, if you got new people And that's some people, that's their calling. Some people, they are just called to repeat that to a new audience. But if you've heard it, you are not supposed to stay and keep repeating that unless you are the teacher of that to that new audience. So if I'm teaching Jesus Christ and Him crucified, that is great. Because every time I teach it to the first group, they get it. Then they graduate, if you want to use that term, and then I bring in the next class, and I teach Jesus Christ and Him crucified to that class. They graduate. Then I keep doing that. Now, if you do that for 30 years, that's great. Why? That's your calling. And there are a lot of people that are called to do that, and there's nothing wrong with that. That's what I'm saying. I respect. There's mutual respect. I respect your calling, but you got to respect mine. I'm not called to do that. I'm called to go on to perfection. So I'm called to take the people that you teach, and after they get it, how long does it take them to get it? Some people, it may take a week. Some people, it may take 4 weeks. Some people, it may take 5 years. Some people, I guess it takes 30 years. I don't know. However long it takes you to get it, not just be able to regurgitate it, but to get it. Then once you get it, okay, like a baby doesn't stay a baby forever. A baby grows. You should grow. A baby develops something called consciousness. A baby gets smarter. A baby learns how to tie his own shoes. At first, you tie his shoes. At first, you change the baby. Then the baby learns how to go to the potty. It learns. So how come you don't learn? A baby, you ever seen an 18-year-old walking around eating baby food and drinking a bottle? That's what we got now. There's Christians who've been in Christianity for 18 years, and they still talking about Jesus Christ and crucified. They still walking around with a bottle, and they eating baby food, and they taking on grown devils that eat meat, and they work out, and they muscle bound, and you getting whooped because you are spiritually weak, because you still eating baby food, and you still on you still stuck in the bottle, you know, not you, but people you know. So the goal, in order to transcend babydom, in order to transcend this reality that want to keep you a spiritual baby, this world is for spiritual babies. If you are a spiritual baby, this is a good place for you. But once you get maturity, now you become godlike. What is the attributes of a godlike individual? Number one, they have consciousness and they have emotions that power their consciousness. Their emotions are not in place of their consciousness. Number one. Number two, they have life experiences that prove everything that I just said. They got experience. So, see, people know, you know, just like I do, you know baby Christians that are 40, 50, 60 years old. You know. They sit there, they go to church, and they just Jesus Christ and crucified, shout, turn over every chair, and then they go home, poor, broke, busted, disgusted. You know them people. I know them too. They're all over the place. Now, that's just like seeing a grown man walking around with a bottle and eating baby food. He's not going to get the proper nutrition to maintain his body. So what do we do? Well, we can tell that person, or I recommend we do something else. I recommend that we model godhood in front of them. That's what I recommend. I recommend that we develop our consciousness, not our emotions. And we do not get emotional to their emotion. We carry ourselves with dignity and with respect. And so that's what I would recommend. Hang on just 1 second. I got somebody at the door. I think it's the neighbor. I let the wife grab it. But anyway, let me keep going. So I recommend, number one, develop consciousness, not emotion. Number two, I recommend that we develop experiences that is based upon a doctrine of Hebrews 6:1, 6:2, and 6:3. And that's what I recommend. Because once we do that, then we are able to take that experience. With a neighbor? Yeah, she actually gave us cookies. Oh, yeah. We got some good neighbors. She bought some chocolate chip cookies. So So once we develop the experience that is based upon our doctrine. So when people tell me, "Ooh, Brother Will, you're not a Christian, brother." No, I'm not a Christian because I'm not a Titus 3. I'm not a Cretan. I'm not a dwarf idiot. So that term, they're like when they say resist the devil, no, I'm not going to resist the devil. What I'm going to do is I'm going to be the opposite. So somebody changed the definitions of these words, but they left the word. And you're using a word that has a flawed definition. And since the universe responds to definitions, the substance, the universe doesn't respond to the symbol. The universe responds to the substance that's behind the symbol. So if I say a word and I don't know its meaning, if I say bless you and I don't know that that actually means, you know, something negative, it's not a benevolent term, although I have good intention, the Father, again, overstands my heart. The enemy wants to use that to empower, again, darkness. So what does that mean? That means the devil wants you to be ignorant of your power. Now, let me be crystal clear. God responds to your heart. So if you say bless you and you don't know that you should be saying, you know, something else, what happens? Your heart is good, so it brings about good. But what happens to your consciousness? Consciousness is awareness. God wants you to be aware. He doesn't want you to be a baby Christian. He wants you to be a spiritual giant. I'm a spiritual giant. And God wants you to be like him. He's all-knowing. He's all-power. He's all-present. He's all-simplicity. And he's all-benevolent. That's God, the big one, not the little one. So God wants you to be his representative on earth. That means you got to think like him. So that means that you have to understand the etymology of things so that way you can explain it to people who don't. That's my job. So my job is to take people who are well-meaning, good people. Most of them. Now, there are some people, they just bad people. But most people are well-meaning. Most people are good people. So God wants you to take, and he wants you to take your experiences that is based upon his doctrine, the word of God. He wants you to create, and create. Why? Those people are going to see. Now, brothers and sisters, this is God's honest truth. This is exactly what I did. So all I did when I first met my wife, and there was doctrinal differences, and I didn't try to change, and still don't try to change what my wife thinks or believes. We still have differences. All I do is, and my wife has watched me start when I met her making $10,000 a month. And she saw and she knows how much money I made this year. She see and she saw the connections that I made. She went with me to California. She saw people who think and understand the same thing that I think and understand, which is greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. God wishes to do exceedingly abundantly above anything that we can ask and think. We have the power to trample on snakes and scorpions and all power of the enemy, and nothing shall by no means harm us. So there are people who understand universal spiritual law, and they create and they create and they create, and they live by faith and they don't live by fear. They live by resisting the devil. How though? They don't go and say, they don't get up every day and try to fight the devil. They get up every day and they try to promote the God. And that's what I do. Seeing that changes you. Not talk about. I can talk about like I'm doing right now, and I do a lot of talking. But when I get off this phone right now, I'm gonna start creating books. I'm gonna start creating shows. I'm gonna start creating Dear Kinnear reports. I'm gonna start creating Life Map. I'm gonna start creating Millionaire Maps. I'm creating. And that creation expands other people's consciousness. See, the enemy doesn't want you to take your personal purpose and expand it to the point where we develop what is called collective consciousness. He doesn't want us to do that. He wants black folks to stay conscious and alone. He doesn't want us to be conscious and together. See, the devil doesn't care if I'm conscious. The devil does not want my wife to be positively impacted by my creations. He doesn't want my children to watch their father, because they know me. They know how I used to be. My brothers, my sisters know. They don't want them to see my experiences that has taken and removed my emotionalism and has replaced it with my consciousness and my awareness that I am one with the Father. When you've seen me, you've seen the Father. The enemy doesn't want that. Now, he doesn't mind if they see my failures. He doesn't mind if they see me emotional, if they see my broke, busted, disgusted experiences. Everybody knows when I was homeless. Everybody knows when I was, you know, had my emotional outburst. Everybody knows when I was poor and wasn't creating nothing. See, the enemy doesn't care. He wants people to see you suffering. He wants people to connect you with you as a loser. He doesn't want people to connect with you as a winner. Because when you start winning, when you become resurrected, when you become like Christ, when you become like the big G, when you start oscillating and vibrating it with consciousness and with awareness and with perception, and then you start having experiences that verify the doctrine, when you start creating results like your father, all of a sudden people don't have nothing to do but, well, everybody get lucky, you know, once a week. You know, somebody gave him his money. He didn't work for it. He's just hanging out over there with them, you know, bougie people. Think he this, he think he that. They got to start making excuses. Why? They cannot acknowledge the power that comes from consciousness and not emotionalism. You have experiences. I got a lot of bad experiences, but guess what? I have a lot of good experiences that verify my doctrine. So everything that I'm sharing is based upon my experiences that also aligns with the scriptures that we're sharing with you today. Now, brothers and sisters, let me make sure you understand, because Romans 5:12 says this. Romans 5:12 says, wherefore, just as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. So what it's saying, basically, the scripture said that, hey, when Adam sinned, sin entered into the entire human race. And it brought sin. What is sin? Separation. How did we get separated? We stopped doing our purpose. See, Adam had a purpose. Now, the story goes, you know, he walked in the cool of the day. He communicated with God. You know, he tilled the garden. Then he stopped doing his purpose. Sin is absence of purpose. Sin has nothing to do with right or wrong. It has to do with not fulfilling purpose, destiny.
No.
There's a lot of people that don't agree with that statement. I understand, but I have something called real life and scriptures to back it up. So, Brother Will, what do we do? The same way that Adam separated himself from something needed. Adam made a decision. Eve made a decision. We call it that disobeying God. Nope, they disobeyed principles. They disobeyed spiritual laws. They disobeyed kingdom principles. Prove it, Brother Will. Okay, go on your roof, jump off. There's a principle called gravity. If you disobey that principle, are you disobeying God? Not really. Because did God say, thou shalt not jump off roofs? No, he did not. God don't really care if you jump off a roof or not. But a principle, when you violate spiritual laws and kingdom principles, you're choosing to live without something needed. You are disconnecting yourself from source. To transcend reality, to pierce this veil, you have to know those spiritual laws. You have to know those spiritual principles. That's what the Kingdom Millionaires Training Center is all about. Establishing a kingdom mindset so we can speak those kingdom laws or kingdom principles, so that way we can establish a kingdom life. We can create results. Kingdom Millionaires. My goal is just to create millionaires all over the planet, so that way when people see the fruit, they cannot deny God. Right now, there's a people that got a bunch of emotionalism. Now, we look good. We got fancy cars. We got, you know, we go to church looking like Skittles every day. We got purple suits, blue suits, green suits, orange suits. You know, Negroes can dress up and go to church every day, turn over every chair, bunch of emotionalism, and then we go home and, you know, can't pay our light bill on time. Why? We got a lot of emotion. But we ain't got no fruit. So we need to get fruit. We need to create results. How do you create results, brothers? How do you create results, sister? You need a personal purpose that is so powerful that we form a collective consciousness and we override this hive mind mentality of doom and gloom and death and genetically modified organisms, and we create a new kingdom on this freaking planet that's based upon like minds of people who have a personal purpose. And your personal purpose, when we get together, is going to establish a corporate culture that's based upon love. So why? Against such thing, that law, that other law, it ain't got no power. See, there's a law that's working in you, brother. There's a law that's working in you, sister. That is a law that's in your flesh. How do we get rid of that law? By creating love, by creating joy, by creating gentleness, meekness. So when I see you, I'm not going to debate you. That's why I don't debate. You will never see me. If you see me debating, you know that my body got possessed by some entity and took over me, because this Negro will never debate another Negro. It's not going to happen. Why? I respect you too much to make a public spectacle of you and me. So whatever you say, I'm going to agree with. I'm going to defuse the conflict. Now, if you put your hands on me, that's another study for another time. See, it is a lack of kingdom knowledge. It is a lack of kingdom laws. It is a lack of kingdom precepts. It is lack of kingdom principles. That is the root cause of all problems on earth. Period. Drop mic, exit stage left. Let me say it one more time. Let me get back on stage. Okay. Lack of kingdom knowledge, brother. It is a lack of consciousness of the kingdom. It's not lack of consciousness of food. It's not a conscious of wealth or health and wisdom. Nothing. It's a lack of consciousness of kingdom principles. That is the cause of every problem on. Show me a problem. What problem you got? I will show you a violation of a kingdom principle. I don't care what the problem is. Show me any problem. If you got a problem, whatever that problem is, you're violating a kingdom principle. You say, well, Brother Will, I don't think so, brother. You know, no, I know so. Why? You're separated. Now, remember, God is. He didn't create it. God is. Love, joy, peace, gentleness, meekness, self-control. Against those things, there's no separation. So if you don't have those things in your life, that's one thing. You're separated from God. My job is to connect you back to God. How do we do that? Number one, consciousness. That consciousness is going to lead you to have something called experiences. See, I got a bunch of experiences. All of my experiences came as my conscious expanded my problem with my flesh, with myself, with my ego. My flesh creates distractions or desires that separate me from my soul. This separation from God, that is a result of a lack of awareness or a lack of the ability to perceive truth. So what is missing is the word know, which means to be cognitive or to be aware of a specific piece of information. It is the ability to perceive. It is the ability to know. So what is it that I don't know? What is it that we don't know that we're missing? Well, there are laws of wealth. Give and it shall be given. We don't know. So we got people that don't want to give. We got people that want to take. So I got a product, service, information, and you don't want to give me money for it. You want me to give it to you for free. So if I give you something for free, I'm violating universal spiritual law. So I'm cursing myself. It took me a long time to figure that out. I have to give first. You have to give first. We should be giving to each other. It is a mutual exchange. So knowledge is the awareness or the ability to perceive. It is the ability to perceive truth or facts. So knowledge helps us to see. That's how you pierce the veil, by seeing the veil and realizing, hey, that's a wall. I'm going to just cut. Now, this is fake. It's a freaking illusion. Knowledge is the ability to see through this smoke and mirrors. So now we can see. So transcending reality, piercing the veil, is the result of a developing consciousness, not emotion. See, you got to be careful, man. Colossians 2:8 says, beware. I love this scripture. Beware. Colossians 2:8. Beware lest anyone cheat you. How? Through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men. I know a lot of people got freaking tradition, but they ain't got no damn dominion. They can't produce shiznits. You got a problem, they can't solve it. That's tradition. Tradition does not solve problems. Guess what solves problems, brother? Dunamis power. There's no devil and no demon that can stand up against my God. But he will walk through your tradition. Beware, brothers. Beware lest anybody cheat you through philosophy. I don't got no philosophy. I ain't got no. I'm not a philosophizer. I'm a metaphysician. And empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. In the New Living Translation, Colossians 2:8 says, "Don't let anyone lead you astray with empty philosophy and high sounding nonsense that comes from human thinking and that comes from evil powers of this world." See, friendship with this world, problem. You can't rescind this world if you are a friend of this world. That's why I'm not a friend of this world. See, it's evil powers of this world that are not according to Christ. Christ is the messianic office, your office, that furnishes the one in that office. That's you. You're supposed to be in an office, brother. You should have purpose. You should have a personal purpose. Do you got personal purpose? Do you know what your personal purpose is? Don't talk to me about the corporate. I know that's a corporate person. What is our corporate purpose? Establish the kingdom on earth. That's the corporation. We all are part of a corporation called the Kingdom of God Incorporated. As a individual in its collective consciousness, what is your individual? What are you contributing as an individual to the kingdom? Oh, hold up. Time out. Let me get this right. So you are a member of this kingdom, where the wealth, everybody contributes and everybody has a seat at the table because everybody freaking brings something to the table. You ever have a potluck and there's always one Negro at the potluck? He don't never bring nothing. And he comes and he takes, and he not only does he eat, this fool takes three plates with him. Y'all know. Y'all remember that? Y'all got that one family member? It's that one family member, man. Y'all know. I got a couple of them in my family. They come to the potluck, they come to, you know, a family, everybody bringing something to the family. Everybody, they could at least bring some paper plates. But they come, they will eat you out of house and home, and they don't bring nothing. Y'all know that? See, that's not the kingdom way. See, in the kingdom, give. Everybody loves. God loves a cheerful giver. I love creating and giving stuff away. But the Bible didn't say nothing. The workman is worthy of his wages. When you create something, you better not give it away for free. When you create something, you better receive equal value, or you cursing the person that you're giving it to. See, but so the kingdom got principles and it got laws. We don't know. We got the gospel, we got religion, we got tradition, but we didn't got the kingdom that Jesus preached. Jesus came preaching repent. That means change your mind. For the kingdom, that means a disposition of royalty. Any nines out there? Any nines out there? That disposition that you got of excellence and style, you need to share that with the world. Why? It's missing. We don't know how to carry ourselves like kings and queens. We've forgotten. We've lost our way. We are kings, brothers. We are queens, sisters, kings and queens, at least on this dimension. Carry yourself accordingly. You're the king's kid. The Bible says in Colossians 2:9, "For in him all the wealth of God's being has a living form, and you are complete in him who is the head of and the rule of all authority." In him all the wealth of God's being dwells in bodily form. Let me say that again. King James, Colossians 2:9, "For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." Same for you. And it says, "And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principalities and power." Now, brothers and sisters, I could preach for another 10 hours. Well, maybe two. But we gotta bring this one to a close. Colossians 2:9-10 says, "And you," that means me and you. So Christ dwelleth, in Christ dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. So whatever the Godhead consists of is downloaded into a body. That body is called Christ. We know that Jesus Christ, call it whatever you want. If you got a problem with that, I understand. But all I know, there's All of the attributes and characteristics of God is downloaded into our bodies. How do I know? Verse 10, Colossians 2:10. And you are complete in him. So there's 220 scriptures that tells us to be in Christ. I don't know about you, but I'm in Christ. Christ means my messianic office, brother. I'm in my messianic office. I'm a didactic teacher. I replace error with truth. I uplift the spirit of humanity. That's what I do. So I'm in my office. Are you in yours? That's my personal contribution to the kingdom. So I'm in my office. So if I'm in my office, I am the head of all principality and power. Principalities, Ephesians 6. See, we are warring against principalities and wickedness in high places. And I got power over them principalities as long as I'm a didactic teacher and I'm continuing to drop in this gnosis. I'm destroying devils and demons. I walk through devils like hot butter, like a knife through hot butter. Why and how? Because I'm in Christ. What is Christ? The messianic office that furnishes the one in that office with the power that was loaned to him by the big G to fulfill his office on earth. Personal contribution to the kingdom. That's my personal purpose. I'm in Christ. I am complete. There is a union that makes me the Lord or the head or the ruler or the authority, period, over every principality and every wickedness and every demon on the planet. So poverty, get under my feet. Sickness, you got to go. Ignorance, I don't think so. Bad relationships, not today. For in him, all the wealth of God's being has a living form. And you, brother, and you, sister, you are complete in him who is the head and the rule over all principalities and all authority. You see, brothers and sisters, I don't know if you understand who you are. Once you understand who you are, you can transcend reality and you can pierce the veil by, number one, developing the same mind or the same consciousness as God. And number two, start having a life or some experiences that aligns and proves that you got this consciousness. Number three, start creating products, services, and information. Start creating a feeling. Start creating a vibe. Start creating a mental disposition. When you walk into a room, everybody should stop and say, damn, who is that? Man, she fine. Oh, man, he looking pretty good. They should be able to see. Just by your vibe, your energy should show up before you do. Your energy should show up before you do. Because you have the consciousness of God. You are having and establishing the experiences of God. And now you are creating results just like God. Come on, brothers. Come on, sisters. We got to step up our game. Jesus Christ, him crucified, was great. But now it's time to go on to maturity. If you're interested, holler at your boy. Brothers and sisters, I am the one and only Dr. Will Rogers, a.k.a. Master Teacher 33. That is my contribution. That is my personal purpose. That is my destiny. That's the reason why I'm on this rock, to establish the kingdom of God on this earth, to uplift the spirit of humanity by replacing error with truth. And I do that by the leading and the guiding of the Ruach and the Pneuma, because it would never, ever, ever con me, it will never manipulate me, it will never lead me down a road that will not align with God's mind. Get in line, brothers and sisters, with this Holy Spirit, because it leads you and guides you into all truth. Tomorrow we wrap it up with part 3. Tonight, 7 p.m., we continue with part 2 of how to establish, once you find this personal purpose, how to monetize it. So, or establish it in a way that you don't pay no taxes other than the ones that you owe. So, brothers and sisters, it's the joy, the pleasure, the honor, and the privilege. God bless you. His name is Yahuwah. May his son bless you. His name is Yahushua. And may the Ruach, the set apart one, continue to lead you and guide you in all truth, because it will never, ever, ever manipulate or control you. And as always, my brothers, as always, my sisters, I will, make no doubt about it, I will see you in eternity. God bless you.
I'ma get this, 'cause I got this. I'ma get this, 'cause I got this. this. I'ma get this, cause I accept that I got this.
Yeah, I know. Life is such a mind job. I don't pray to you, I pray to my God. It's me, myself, and I, call me tripod. I'm standing on my own, playing my part. I'm playing my part, better be the biggest one. Kinda like I'm rolling through the hood with the biggest gun. Cause when I'm true me, yeah, I got a heavy tongue. No one can outdo me, how I let the levee run. Cause I'm the clever one, hopping to the Chevy, son. Stepping on your church, how I'm knocking out your reverend. I'm really sorry, but I'm tired of the never come. Preacher talking about that money, that'll really never come. So get your kingdom up and get your kingdom in order. Order. Stop letting entities come and beat your border. Order. I'ma hit these entities with a fleet of mortar. Order. Never connoisseur. I'm harder than a border. Yeah. I've been doing more footprint like a dinosaur. I'm a connoisseur when it comes to dropping my manure. Yeah. When I see an opportunity, I got maneuver. I send my own damn self to show me how to do it.
I know I took a minute, but I got it once I figured out that it was all up to me. And I really love haters cause they keep me activated on a level to a better me. I made a choice one day that I'll pave my way and I'm never looking back again. I know it took a minute, but I got it once I figured out that it was all up to me.
Yeah. I'm done with the dogmatic. I got organic on automatic. Yeah. Ain't no panic when you lose concern. Ain't no fear when you let your soul lurk and you let your soul earn. I'ma show you something real when I speak through this. Cause it ain't only me when I speak through this. So you gotta feel the G as I speak through this. Kinda like I'm at the chapel as I preach through this. See, I don't want your money, I just want you to wake up. Cause really it's the money that continues to slave us. Fat and happy while we taking a pay cut. Cause we don't realize that we the ones that amaze them. No more stuff in the placement, cause I'ma never stuck in the station. I'ma tell you something, I'ma hit you to face it. If you come on my way and stop me from greatness.
I'm done. I know I took a minute, but I got it once I figured out that it was all up to me. And I really love haters cause they keep me activated on a level to a better me. I made a choice one day that I'll pave my way and I'm never looking back again. I know it took a minute, but I got it once I figured out that it was all up to me.
I'm done.
I know I took a minute, but I got it once I figured out that it was all up to me. And I really love haters cause they keep me activated on a level to a better me. I made a choice one day that I'll pave my way and I'm never looking back again. I know it took a minute, but I got it once I figured out that it was all up to me.
Done.